Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Much like Portland with Kevin Love, San Antonio adding Chris Paul is San Antonio adding Chris Paul to get a 7 or an 8 seed, because they're woefully up against it right now at 9-15. They are 9-15, and the Blazers are 10-16.
I mentioned DeRozan, and then, of course, D'Angelo Russell is a player who, as of tomorrow, could be traded. Potential destinations for Russell, again, according to CBSSports.com, Minnesota and the Orlando Magic, which could mean Aaron Gordon. Timberwolves make a lot of sense here because we know that he wants to play with Karl Anthony Towns. We know that Minnesota had a lot of interest in him in the offseason, and he was considering going there. And Minnesota's a team that's lost, seven in a row? So they're a team that has a shot maybe to make a playoff run this year. That their season is starting to unravel, and I could see how they may want to make a bold move to try to rescue this year.
If they traded D'Angelo Russell, if the Warriors traded D'Angelo Russell, but I want to look at this from the Timberwolves' perspective for a moment, and we'll get into the Warriors' point of view on it. If the Timberwolves traded for D'Angelo Russell, okay, let's say the Timberwolves send Covington and
Teague
and Okogie to the Warriors for D'Angelo Russell, and the Timberwolves have D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns.
And then they'd probably, in that, they might get someone else back in that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's just say that's their three. Do they make the playoffs this year? I feel like they still wouldn't.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
And that's...
But they're not going to make the playoffs as it is. If that's how they feel right now, then it behooves them to do something.
I just keep looking at them, and I feel like they should be better. And the reason they're not is Wiggins and Towns. I mean, at some point, you know, we were talking about Sacramento earlier, right? And you posed the question, how does a small market team, you know, not only contend for a playoff spot, but contend for an NBA championship? And the reality is you have to hit on those draft picks.
Hit big on those draft picks.
And right now, Wiggins and Towns, it's a borderline embarrassment to me that Wiggins and Towns can't, those two guys lead them to a playoff spot.
Well, you can see what they were trying to do, what Thibodeau was trying to do when he brought in Jimmy Butler.
Well, they made it that year.
Yeah, Wiggins and Towns are immensely talented, but they've been a little soft, right? So you bring in Jimmy Butler and hope that he gives them an edge, but it just gives too much of an edge.
Even Anthony Davis, as maligned as he was in some circles, he got the Pelicans to the playoffs twice.
I know, yeah.
Now, and for the
and they won a series.
Timberwolves to not be able to do it, for the Timberwolves to not be able to do it with Towns and with Wiggins, unless they have Jimmy Butler in the mix. Like I said, I think it's a bad, bad look. And I know Wiggins was, you know, yapping about how he, you know, saw what everybody was saying about him and he changed his game and he got off to a nice start of the season. But wow, I mean, my goodness.
But they've got too much invested in players that are too talented and young to think about starting over. So I think they've got
to look, and they are young enough. I mean,
yeah.
I get it from an age talent point of view. If you
Russell makes
to
a
have
lot
Russell,
of sense for them.
I mean, Russell at 23?
Mm-hmm.
With Wiggins, who I believe is still not even 25 or just going to turn 25 here coming up.
See, I don't have the salaries here in front of me, but the deal that you proposed, three players, Okogie, and to me, that would be too much for Minnesota to give up. But I know we're getting lost in the weeds of the theoretical.
What I've heard, too, is, well, maybe the Warriors want a pick in that. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it's Covington and a pick. You know, and instead of Okogie and Teague, although Teague would have to make the salary obviously work.
He's an expiring contract, if I'm not mistaken. Teague.
Right.
Yeah.
He is an expiring contract. And Wiggins is 24 years old. Yeah, I believe he'll be 25 next year.
He's Canadian. He's 24 Canadian, so what is that American? Is it still? I guess it's still the same. Okay.
By the way, Chilton Auto Body text line. The 510 weighing in here, Whitey. Warriors should keep D'Lo and trade Whitey.
Okay.
That's an actual text here. That's an actual.
I don't know.
Thing.
You're not going to get much, but okay.
Warriors should keep D'Lo and trade Whitey. That comes in from the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. So, again, I know.
It's distracting for me. 95.7
management. They're not. You know, typically they. I know they don't read the papers and listen to the headlines and check out the blogs. But
yeah.
And, you know, I do know they're heavy.
Where's
on
that
social.
From?
The 510.
510. Let me know where I'd be going, please, if you could. What are you hearing?
Yeah. So well,
I'm
know
telling
you,
you're not going to get much.
I know you had thrown out Orlando.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, you know, an overnight guy to be named later.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you get you're taken back. Somebody that can provide some depth for Alex Scott.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Whoever I'm working for, you know, I'm going to give them 100%. That's all I'm going to do. That's the way I am.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors this week here, 95.7 The Game. 415, Greg in San Francisco, our resident Draymond Green fan. Draymond's only 28 or 29, LOL. He's putting up the same pedestrian stats he always has. He's just not surrounded by all-stars anymore. Don't understand why folks on the station criticize Russell. When Curry comes back, let's see how Russell looks. I think the last part of that is fair. However, Russell and Curry together did not look good those first handful of games before Curry got hurt.
I'll just answer the question, since I'm going to be traded anyway, you know, why not just let it fly here as far as why I criticize D'Angelo Russell and not Green so much. D'Angelo Russell has shown very little interest in playing defense, and Draymond Green is an excellent defender.
And look, you know, I know there is a group of people out there that don't like Draymond Green.
I can understand that.
That don't like Draymond Green's game, that think, hey, Draymond has been held up by the players that have played around him.
He makes lists of most overrated players when the NBA players vote. So maybe he is. Maybe his reputation is a little swollen by the fact that he's played on these great teams. But he's still a really valuable piece.
And look, I don't think it's a surprise though that he's putting up similar numbers like that. Like you have Draymond. Like you don't like Draymond Green was not the guy that was going to start averaging 18, 20 points a game this year.
Right.
Like
and
nobody,
I don't think
anybody expected that.
Some people hoped he would be, but clearly he's not. I don't know if he ever will be, but clearly he's not a guy who can do that.
But to me,
he's not capable of doing that.
To me, it's foolish to even think you would do that or that he would do that.
I don't think it's foolish to suggest that, wow, it really helped them if he added a little more offense to his game. Maybe not 18 to 20, but, you know, I think Steve Kerr's even talked about that. It would be nice if Draymond could make a few more threes and could be a more offensive threat, as I say, but he doesn't have that in him right now, whether
yeah.
it's because of his health or he struggles shooting that three. I mean, it looks like he physically struggles with it.
The three-point shot is something that definitely, I said it, and I was dead wrong in the offseason. I thought Draymond Green would come back with a better three-point shot this year. Just some, you know, hey, knowing that this team was going to need that. I mean, that would be the one area where it would be the simplest, I think, for him to improve and help this team offensively just in terms of being able to make those shots. And for whatever reason, it's just not there. And I think it is to the point where you have to ask, okay, can it be there? I really do think that. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors this week with John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason here on 95.7 The Game. 650 brings up a good point on the Chilton Auto Body text line, and we do understand this. Covington alone is not enough salary for matching purposes in a trade for Russell. Draft picks don't have a monetary value, so Minnesota would have to send out at least $21 million, and Covington is what? I think Covington's in the 13 range, 12 or 13 range. Moving forward here. So the Warriors are in a spot where, yeah, they would have to take other pieces back if they were going to trade Russell. Teague was the one that made the most sense to get it right, get it closer to that $30 million range where Russell is.
I'm fascinated by the Draymond Green issue because it seems like every week when I'm on the show with you, someone texts or calls and says, you know, they really need to trade Draymond Green. And I'm not bringing this up to try to browbeat anyone, but I'm just curious why it is that people feel that way. Why do you feel those of you who feel like, you know what, Draymond Green's not that good, or it's time to part company with him, is it because of all the technicals he's drawn in the past? Is it because he's struggling offensively? I really would like to know from those who feel like, I've had it with Draymond. Clearly the Warriors have not. But those who feel that way, I'd like to know why you feel that way. What is it about Draymond that you feel is expendable?
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. I'll give you a theory. And look, I would not trade Draymond Green.
I wouldn't either. And again, I'm not trying to, like I say, embarrass
people. There are people that adamantly say that.
So I know.
Why do you believe
that? Yes.
I want to see him come back and play with the other two, just because we haven't, you know, Curry and Thompson, just because we haven't seen it, really. And I want to look. We lay it out every week. I mean, there are so many ways that the Warriors can become a really good team next year, you know, very quickly. Robert Covington, by the way, this year it's 11.3, next year it's 12.1. And then the following year, it's 12.9. So he's on a pretty affordable
club-friendly deal,
you know, contract.
Yeah,
for the next.
That's
this
very
year,
similar to my contract that Orlando apparently is looking at.
This year and the next 2 years for Robert Covington. So you would be getting a player that again, I to me, if you start looking at windows for the Warriors, and I know people can get carried away with the timeline, and boy, these guys are aging. I know you talk to some people. Matt Steinmetz is somebody, you know, on our station, 10 to 2 every day. And, you know, he said it. He has some concerns as to, you know, the Warriors core coming back. And, you know, is there enough of the prime left for that three to be at a championship level? When you start looking at the timeline, if you're looking at a window, to me, it's that 2 year window. So Covington fits in that 2 year window of, okay, you throw this year out, 19-20, 20-21, 21-22. I think there's a 2 year window where if the Warriors dial it up and are able to maximize the assets and their ability to change the roster, they can be a championship-contending team again for those 2 years. Beyond that, I'm not comfortable going there, but I do think there is a window for those two.
That's one of the things I like about a potential deal for Aaron Gordon, because he is so young, and I know you're not as high on him as I am, but if you bring in a player like Aaron Gordon and you use your draft pick on a potential star down the road, then you're keeping the window open now, but also maybe getting to a point where you got a future windows that are going to open for you as you're reestablishing a younger core for the future.
All right, we got a couple of calls. Let's go to Kinger in Newark. Kinger, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Just calling to talk about the Draymond Green thing. I'll start off by saying I'm a huge Draymond Green supporter. But what you run into most of the people, they don't really
Nope, we lost Kinger. Yeah, we lost Kinger.
I think he was in the process of making a point that people who don't appreciate Draymond don't understand what he contributes, which is certainly possible.
Yeah,
but again, I don't want to try to insult people and say, you don't know what he does. I'm just curious as to why people say, that's it. I've had it with Draymond. He's the one they should trade.
Well, I think part of it is just the fact that there's such an affinity for Steph and for Clay. Right? I mean, I think a lot of it is, hey, if you had to pick one, you know, and you're a Warriors fan, it's, well, you're not picking Steph, right? I mean, Steph is the system. He is the franchise. And you're not picking Clay because Clay is, you know, and you're talking about still highly talented offensive players. So I think it's just, well, Draymond isn't, you know, he isn't as flashy as the other two.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't as popular as the other two. You know, those two do it in a way that have... And look, Draymond has been the heart and soul of this Warriors team, but it all started with the Splash Brothers. So, to me, it's almost, in a way, process of elimination. Well, it's not going to be one of the two guards, because those guys were the first, you know, the first two guys that built this thing and took it to a certain level.
Yeah, and those guys are such brilliant shooters. Remember years ago, Mark Jackson said they're the best shooting combination, best shooting backcourt of all time. And I know initially a lot of people, and my initial reaction was, come on. But you know what? He was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Draymond Green is not as nearly as pretty to watch when he starts shooting jump shots.
Let's go to Brock in Antioch. Brock.
Antioch Brock.
Up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Brock.
Hey, fellas. Enjoy the show. A little take on Draymond. A little different than most people. I really enjoyed the way he played against the Trailblazers. I mean, I think if you could pick one player why the Warriors swept Portland, it was Draymond and his handling of the ball and how he was played help defender. But I have been really disappointed in his game this year. I don't expect 16 to 18 points. But, I mean, the guy looks like when he shoots a three-pointer that he has a backpack on his back. It just doesn't look natural. And face it, he's been playing with the two greatest shooters of all time. And you think his jump shot would get just a little bit better. He's a great help defender, but he's not a great rebounder for a power forward. Several games this year with him and Pascal on the floor at the same time, there'll be a combined 45 minutes to get 6 rebounds. I think you have to get more from Draymond without Stephen Clay there. If you're going to call yourself an all-star, you have to be better than just a help defender. Got to get some rebounds, and you have to be able to hit an open shot in today's NBA game without Stephen Clay and, of course, Durant.
Thanks, Brock. Great
points. Thanks, Antioch Brock.
Great points. The shooting, to me, is the biggest thing. It's if he could knock down some threes consistently, his game could get even to another level.
Wasn't it the year they won 73 that his three-point shooting was 30? It was very high.
It was
high.
The best year that he's had.
Yeah. And I want to say 38, right, and now you'll look it up there. But he hasn't come close to that since. But, yeah, that was a fabulous season he had. Not a great rebounder. That's a fair comment. I think the problem with Draymond and why some people don't appreciate what he does is because he does so much defensively that isn't necessarily evident in numbers. It doesn't show up in stats.
38.8%.
38.8 is phenomenal.
38.8% from
three-point range. But since then, it's like he's fallen off a cliff,
now,
right? 30, it goes down, down, down.
Yeah, 30.8, 30.1, 28.5, and this year 26.7. 26.7 is by far the worst, other than his rookie year when it was 20.9. And his rookie year, I mean, he didn't even attempt that many his rookie year. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. More phone calls coming up here. It's Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason out here at Warriors Hooptopia,
Hooptopia.
Until 1 o'clock. Joining us now, good friend of this program, friend of the station, USA Today's Mark Medina, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, good to speak with you. It's been a little while. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's always good to talk with you, JD. I hope you're going to enjoy this Hooptopia. I've been hearing good things about it.
Yeah, I may or may not be in the dunking harness at some point in the next 2.5 hours.
I want the video. I want the video, JD.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get that all over social for you so everybody can get a chance to see it. But, yeah, Mark, I'm surprised you didn't get a chance to actually get a part of that before. I know you were practically still living here, I think, the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, I had moved back to L.A. Mid-September, so I may have just missed the point. But frankly, I think maybe they saw the footage from Chris Haynes' media game that he hosted during the NBA Finals and realized that I wasn't really showing any highlight reels and therefore wasn't worthy of an invite.
And Mark joins us via the Dialpad guest line here on 95.7 The Game. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across your existing devices.
Thank you. Hey, Mark, it's Whitey here. I wanted to ask you about the biggest names that as of tomorrow could be traded and the ones that are most likely to be moved. Based on the footage of your career, I guess, I haven't heard your name mentioned in any of these NBA trade rumors, but who are some
of the I don't think there's a market for me. I can confirm that. I think the most likely name is Kevin Love. I mean, Woj had already mentioned that earlier, and, you know, my colleague Jeff Zilgit and I I've heard, been hearing the same things, and the reasons are pretty obvious. I mean, Cleveland has not been going anywhere ever since LeBron James left. Kevin Love is one of those players that I think has a good amount of years left, but he's not a franchise-changing player. So at this point, like, he's really just kind of taking up space. And I get why Cleveland ultimately still signed him to an extension, because maybe it opens up the door for things like this, where he is an asset and maybe they could get some young players and some draft picks in return. You know, the one thing that I would caution, not just with Kevin Love, but in general, you know, December 15th, tomorrow is the first day that teams can start making deals, but just knowing how these things work, it's usually more often that the deals don't happen until closer to the trade deadline on February 6th, and that really just has to do with just the nature of negotiations and leverage and all that.
Mark, what teams would be the best fit in terms of wanting a guy like Kevin Love, or believing that he's worth you know, not only having around this season, but for the next couple of years at a pretty high price?
Yeah, you know what, JD? I think that you hit on allude to a good point, because I think that's the predicament that the Cleveland Cavaliers are in, because if I'm a team that is trying to be, you know, do whatever it can to make that next step to be a championship contender, I would love to get Kevin Love, but what do you give up? I mean, that's a pretty hefty contract. If you're one of those kind of teams that are in the middle of the road, I don't think it's good to get Kevin Love. And the problem is, when you're looking at the contenders, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, yes, they have assets, but I don't think they'd be really willing to give up on them. And I think through a much different window, that's probably the same challenge that Andre Iguodala is going to face. You know, I'm sure Warrior fans are intrigued of where he ends up next, because unless he gets through a buyout with Memphis, some of those contending teams just aren't going to be able to sign him. But the problem is, the Memphis Grizzlies are, at this point, still beholden to the fact of, look, he's under contract, we want to get fair value in return, so we want to do a deal. And because of just kind of how those deadlines are, I don't really see any resolution until closer to that February 6th deadline.
Mark, which teams do you think would be most interested in D'Angelo Russell, apparently, and hypothetically?
Well, I got to throw cold water on that. I don't see the Warriors doing any trade with D'Angelo Russell before the trade deadline. I mean, part of it is because they're hard capped, so it's very little that they can do anyway. But I think, you know, the sense that I'm getting talking to people in the Warriors is that they're looking at not even just D'Angelo, but things in general. Of, it's more about the summer. So right now it's about playing out the season, trying to develop the young guys, see what, you know, get clarity on both the vets and the young guys on where do they fit in long term once Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are back fully healthy, and then go from there. I mean, the movement that the Warriors are going to be making is going to be more once the season ends, leading into free agency.
Yeah, they could be in a position, Mark, where, I mean, they're making a whole lot of moves in a very short period of time when you start to factor in their trade exception that they've got about a week to line up and about a day to execute actually using it once the league year opens, and maybe a deal involving Russell, and then we'll see what happens. The draft will be obviously a couple of weeks before that too. So there could be a whole lot of roster change for the Warriors in a quick period of time once late June, early July comes about.
Yeah, you hit on that, JD. And I mean, I know that the Warriors fans have either gotten frustrated or just kind of used to the reality that the losses pile up by the game. But just add up all these things up for why next year is going to be good for them. I mean, you have a healthy Steph Curry, a healthy Klay Thompson, healthy Draymond Green. You have D'Angelo Russell as either part of that long-term future or an asset to dangle in a trade. You have a multitude of a handful of young players, role players that could be attached as part of a centerpiece involving D'Angelo. They'll probably have a top five pick. They have that $17.5 million trade exception that they can use from the Andre Iguodala deal. And I've gotten clarity since we've last talked of, like, how they can use that. They can either use that on one player entirely, or they can break it up into parts where they could sign, you know, one or two or even three players. And then they have the mid-level exception that's around $5 million. So there's a lot of things that I think paint brighter days ahead next season that will allow the Warriors to have a much better roster next year.
Now, Mark, I want to clarify on the trade exception with you. That's some good info. It's, you know, of that, it's $17.5 million. First of all,
yep, $17.5 million.
So $17.5 million. Now you said they can break it up. Can they break it up into separate trades, or could they take three players back in the same trade that add up to $17.5 million?
Yeah, my understanding it. I mean, you can always do different deals. So maybe there's a three-team component, but I think more likely it's more a matter of it being the same part of the deal where they don't get the caliber of player that's worth 17.5, but they can get two decent role players that maybe split the difference. The challenging part about that trade exception is that there's a very limited window in which they can use it. It's from my understanding that the Warriors can use it once that one-year anniversary hits of the deal,
and then
they have like 24
right?
to 48 hours to use it. But with how fluid and fast free agency is in general, it's not going to be hard to find a way to use that exception.
Mark, how beneficial physically was missing the postseason last year for LeBron James?
I think it's significant. I think it largely explains why he is where he is right now. I mean, just put this all into context here. This is the first time he missed the playoffs since 2006. The first time he wasn't even in the NBA Finals since 2010. So, I mean, you just think about what that's like mentally and physically. I mean, he had an extra 3 months that he's not used to having to recover from, you know, just mileage and his injury from last year. He had said that he literally watched every single playoff game, and I believe him because he is that competitive. And you guys remember that photographic memory that he recalled of certain plays when the Cavs were playing the Warriors in the 2018 Finals. So he was watching literally every single game. He's hearing all the narratives about the direction of the Lakers, where he's at in his career. He had a lot of motivation, and I know much was made this summer of, hey, he's filming Space Jam 2, what's his priorities, but he woke up usually around like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to get his workout in. He would be on set from like 7 to 3, and then he'd do more evening training, and that was his day. It was Groundhog's Day for, you know, a good 4 or 5 months, and yeah, he's locked and loaded, and I think that it's easy to say, yeah, the Lakers were supposed to be like this. It's LeBron James, Anthony Davis, but I've been pleasantly surprised that there hasn't been as much of those kind of initial learning curves of what the LeBron AD dynamic would be. You know, some of the role players, I think most of them except for Kyle Kuzma because of injury, have shown the best version of themselves. And frankly, I thought Frank Vogel would come in a situation where it's almost like Eric Spoelstra and David Blatt of like kind of going through lumps of winning over LeBron, and he's won him over pretty quickly. So it's only a quarter way through the season. You know, my sense around talking to people in the NBA is there's a good chunk that still like the Clippers over the Lakers, but the Lakers are as good as can be right now, given the obvious talent, but also making the most of that. You know, they're not just relying on that, and it's, you know, having a good locker room and good work ethic day to day.
Now, Mark, that being said, are we essentially headed for a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals? Because, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and, I mean, Dallas has been a surprise team, but I don't think they're on the level of contender. I think they've shown that they're probably going to be a playoff team this year with Luka Doncic. The Rockets are a couple of games off the pace. I think you could make a claim that Denver and Utah have been a little disappointing, and then the rest of the Western Conference has been even more disappointing, honestly. Once you continue to go beyond that, is it Lakers, Clippers, and then everybody else, or is there one team maybe of that next group that you could see sneaking in there to a conference final?
No, I think, as I said, you know, on this show, you know, before the season even started, I think it's the Western Conference Finals is going to be in L.A., Lakers, Clippers, and I don't know where the seeding is. It's basically them and everyone else, but as far as the second tier, I think it's then either Dallas or Houston. I'm not quite sure which one has the advantage. I think one of those teams could maybe steal a game if they match up with the Lakers and the Clippers in the second round. But, you know, seeing both teams, I just think that there is a stark divide between the talent level and just the depth
you know, James Harden is doing James Harden things. And I think after spending some more time there, you know, some of the narratives that, you know, Warrior fans surely like to attach to of, oh, he chokes in the playoffs, I think it's a little bit more simplistic. You have to account for the fact that Chris Paul was always wearing down in the playoffs. The Warriors are really good, and there's only so much James can do. But I think even if the Westbrook-Harden dynamic has been a pleasant surprise for me, and I think that for the most part it's beneficial, that doesn't erase the talent gap that the Clippers and the Lakers have with their respective duos as well as their bench depth.
Mark, I wanted to ask you about the Bucks, 17 straight wins now. That's tied for the 16th longest winning streak in the history of the NBA. So going forward here, what are still the biggest question marks about them in terms of whether or not they are a legitimate title contender?
I don't think there's many question marks as far as how they're going to be in the regular season. I think they're going to be in the finals. I think the question mark is how much did they learn from last year's playoff performance against Toronto, specifically with Giannis. And, you know, he had entered the season, and a lot of the coaching staff with Mike Budenholzer had mentioned that they almost noticed kind of a new chip on his shoulder because he did not play well in that series, that he used that as a source of extra motivation, and that he is a strong learner to begin with, where he is trying to just fine-tune every single area of the game where he doesn't have any weaknesses whatsoever. But, you know, it's really just splitting hairs. I know that they beat the Clippers, you know, not too long ago, but I think the Clippers are really playing the long game with everything, where, you know, Paul George missed the first 11 games. They've been, you know, really pacing themselves with when they use Kawhi, and I think that they're going to peak at the right time. So I don't think there's anything fundamentally wrong with the Bucks. I just think that when you're looking at the Clippers and the Lakers, there's just such a stark division between them and the rest of the league.
Mark, final question for you, and it'll be just the bottom of the Western Conference. There's six teams, the two LAs, you got Dallas and Houston, Denver, Utah. There's six teams, essentially six good teams right now in the West, period. And then there's some mediocre and some not so good. Do you think Portland and San Antonio have what it takes to right themselves to a point where they get those last two playoff spots, or do you think we're going to see some more new blood sneak in the bottom half?
Yeah, that's it's a tough question. I mean, I've been pleasantly surprised with the Suns and the Kings. I'm not high on Minnesota, so I think that the Trailblazers and the Spurs could surpass those teams. And it's weird. I mean, you never count Pop, but it's just they don't have players anymore, right? I would handicap it to Portland because Damian and CJ always give them the chance. I think Melo's made the best of the circumstances. But the reality is, from what I've been told, is that they're not going to expect Nurkic back until sometime after the All-Star break, and then Collins, like, just before the playoffs start. So I think that's a lot to ask for Portland to be able to play really without their front court. And you're not really knowing what you're getting from Whiteside on a night-to-night basis. So if I had to handicap it, I think the Suns and the Kings have a better shot at sneaking into the playoffs. I think the Thunder will drop out of the playoffs. I'm not high on Minnesota, and I think it's going to be probably Portland that gets that last spot instead of San Antonio.
Do you think Oklahoma City will try to make the playoffs, or do you think they'll wind up selling? They're almost like a baseball team, right? They're hanging in the race, but they've got assets that other teams might want. And they've obviously have got all the first round picks coming up. They may surprisingly say, "Hey, we're in this race right now." And their starting lineup is actually decent. What do you think they do? Do you think they wind up just kind of quitting and selling and looking toward the future?
Well, you know, they would never say this, but they would love to be able to trade Chris Paul. The problem is, I don't know the teams that want him because of his contract. They're never going to, like, hey, we don't want to win. I think that the initial fear is that with the post-Westbrook era, that they didn't want the city to suddenly see the franchise as irrelevant. So, you know, being a small market team, I think that they'll count their victories that, hey, they can have Chris Paul help be that veteran guy that helps the young guys. And they're really high on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But I think in some respects they've overachieved at the beginning of the season. And so if they wind up having a deal with Chris Paul, I mean, that's going to result in losses automatically. But even if Chris is there, they'll be competitive partly because of who he is. But I think kind of the diminishing returns will catch up to him. And you'll have, I think, someone like Sacramento will have more upside because they've overcome that 0-5 start. And they're going to get De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley back at some point, and then they'll be even better.
Mark, great stuff as always. We really appreciate
Thanks,
it. We'll, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, looking forward. Always talking hoops with you guys, and hope to come back with you soon.
All right, sounds good. Mark Medina joining us here on 95.7 The Game Warriors this week. Yeah, I'm not sure San Antonio has enough.
Interesting. He's throwing cold water on the speculation about anything happening anytime soon with D'Angelo Russell. By the way, we're coming to you today from Hooptopia. I got a tip for you. I just saw a gentleman here. He's up on the harness, and he was going to throw down a dunk, and he took the reared it back to do a tomahawk, and he almost got the ball caught on his harness behind him, and the ball almost came free.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
He recovered, but yeah, you want to be careful that when you rear back with the ball, either go two hands or just
make sure
you don't want to catch it on your harness.
It.
Yeah, you don't want to lose the ball in midair.
Yeah, so it might be set up for a two-hand dunk.
I think that's probably the way to go. Yeah, with authority.
A little two-hand rim racker. Not surprising, though, that the Warriors would not be in a position really to look to trade D'Angelo Russell immediately.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to hurry.
To me, there's almost no upside at all to trading him right now.
And there's you can make the case that he's probably not the only player that they're going to want to be moving at some point here, whether that's deadline or after the regular season in the summer.
Most likely Warrior to be traded between now and the trade deadline. Is it Alec Burks?
Alec Burks, or maybe, I don't know. I'm sure they wouldn't mind moving Willie Cauley-Stein, right? They wouldn't mind moving Glenn Robinson. Nothing against those guys. Just looking big picture, the reality of their situation.
Well, and I think you also have to almost look at it, you know, I mentioned this with Oklahoma City, like a little bit like a baseball team. Buy or sell.
Yeah.
If you're the Warriors. And, you know, the Warriors do have a couple of role players that another team, you know, may find appealing. You know, I wonder, like, I would wonder if even a team like Portland, you know, oh, Nurkic, they're going to get him back. Would Portland maybe be interested in a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein?
By the way,
they've got Whiteside kind of filling that role, too, and Whiteside's a better player. But
I know that Marquese Chris is playing great lately, and a lot of us have been assuming, well, he's going to be starting soon. And he may. He may be starting as soon as tomorrow. But if I'm trying to trade Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't want to bench him.
Right. And it's interesting too. I'm glad, and it sounds like Marquese Chris is going to be fine. We banged knees last night, went out of the game, came back in the game. I had a horrible thought regarding Marquese Chris. You know, essentially, if that had been a significant injury, the Warriors almost would have been forced to waive him. Because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
They would need the roster spot at some point, and if he wasn't going to be able to play, even as an injured player, they would be forced to almost let him go. Which I was that was a thought that raced through my head. Like, boy, I hope that isn't an injury.
Don't have to worry about that
beyond that deadline, because if it is, and we've seen that happen in other instances where guys get hurt, and it's like, hey, that's unfortunately the way it would go. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, as we are out here at Warriors Hooptopia, just about halfway through here on a Saturday. NBA trade season is upon us, at least starting tomorrow, with the pool of players that were signed in this offseason available to be dealt. Where does this leave the Warriors as the Warriors find themselves now at 5-22? Leading the reverse standings, as we often talk about. I think I got to give proper credit to our friend Anthony Slater. I think he was the first one that coined the phrase reverse standings.
Okay.
So from time to time, I want to make sure we give him credit for that. It has become just a staple of all post-game shows.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I know you have the reverse standings there on your bedroom wall. A couple more names of players, big-name players, that could be available as soon as tomorrow. We mentioned DeMar DeRozan, according to CBS Sports.
I would not want him at all.
Possible destinations for him, the Magic and the Timberwolves. You mentioned Danilo Gallinari, who, by the way, had an absolute flat-out great year last year. He was great last year for the Clippers. Potential destinations for him, Blazers, Heat, Celtics, Nuggets, Magic. You can see why a lot of teams would love to have Gallinari. J.J. Redick, potential destination, 76ers, Nuggets, Magic, Rockets, and Aaron Gordon. Potential destinations listed here. Spurs, Blazers, Wizards, Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I think a lot of those teams could use Gordon. Yeah, I if I'm the Spurs, I'm trading DeRozan. And if that could be DeRozan for Gordon,
it sounds like
awesome.
You don't even care what you're getting back for him. You just want
I think
out.
DeRozan's been awful. And again, I know just watching them play, and I've probably watched them play more than I should have. I can be a little bit of a sick individual when it comes to that from time to time.
Why would you subject yourself to that?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Spurs. I've watched a lot of Portland.
By the way, free NBA preview league pass. Take advantage of that.
Always,
I know you already have it, but
yeah, no,
take
but
advantage
you
of the free
take
preview.
Advantage of that at different points during the year. It's just tremendous, and I think there's a game tipping off at 2 o'clock. I think the Spurs are playing the Suns in Mexico City this afternoon. So that's probably going to be a game that I wind up watching.
And I also
I'm sick.
Yeah, I have a question. I know we've talked about it, gotten some calls. I'm wondering, every week on this show and on the postgame shows, we hear from people who just don't think Draymond Green should be here any longer, people who are ready to trade Draymond Green. I don't feel that way, but I'm just wondering why you feel that way. And again, the purpose isn't to try to browbeat anyone or to argue with you or to convince you you're wrong. I'm just curious why it is that there are so many people right now who seem to be at their wits' end with Draymond Green.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. If you want to weigh in on that, it's Warriors this week, 2 hours down, 2 hours to come on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We are coming to you from Warriors Hooptopia.
Hooptopia, what's that?
Yeah, Thrive City here at Chase Center. And, it is just, it is, Whitey, explain exactly what it is, because I know you went through, I got here a little bit later than you did today, but you went through the whole thing.
I did. Long story short, Hooptopia, it's a simulation / museum, and it gives fans a chance to live the life of a Warrior. You got interactive installations and photo opportunities.
From draft night, like all the way through
yes,
to
well,
being a
even
champion.
Before draft night, you actually start at the combine up there. That's where your journey begins. You're measured physically, number of physical traits and skills. Then you got the draft. Then you had the flight out to the Bay Area. And then you even you get to dunk a basketball here. You end up winning a championship. Got the parade. It's incredible, and the detail is astounding.
Yeah, it's tremendous. We're looking right at the splash zone, and then behind us is
I call it the dunkatorium.
The dunkatorium.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's tremendous, and rumor has it, Whitey Gleason may or may not be attempting a dunk here before 1 o'clock.
I'm really kind of, my ground game has always been pretty solid. I've never been a high flyer. I think you'd be better suited. Yeah, I'd love to get out there and just shoot jump shots, but I think I would love to see you flying through the air and throwing it down.
Warriors Hooptopia now open. Thrive City, tickets available. TheHooptopia.com. TheHooptopia.com.
I'm old school, JD. I just give me a let me do the jab step.
Some set shots.
Jab step. Let me do the jab step into the bucket.
Into a set shot.
Lay it up and in. Yeah.
Power layup.
Absolutely.
Power layup.
Absolutely.
We are out here until 1 o'clock. Again, tickets, thehooptopia.com. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Whitey asked the question to those out there that are, that want to have Draymond Green not be a member of the Warriors
anymore.
Well,
we just hear that a lot, right? I mean, we mentioned D'Angelo Russell, and a lot of times we hear on this show, if forget D'Angelo Russell, Draymond Green's the one who should be traded. And I'm just wondering why people feel that way, why they feel that way.
And we're talking a lot about NBA trade season, because NBA trade season officially opens tomorrow with players that are that were signed in the offseason eligible to be traded for the first time, and the trade deadline just under 2 months away.
We're not suggesting that tomorrow there are going to be a flurry of moves. Not at all suggesting that, but as of tomorrow, it could happen.
We had Mark Medina of USA Today on, and he, to use his term, threw cold water. all over any notion that the Warriors at this point are interested in trading D'Angelo Russell, said that they would look at that more probably in the offseason. He mentioned the hard cap as a reason, among a couple of different reasons, and just, you know, not knowing where the Warriors draft pick is going to be, because look, if you're going to trade a guy like D'Angelo Russell, you know, there are a number of different ways and options that the Warriors have. You could trade Russell alone. You could trade Russell attached to the first round pick, which you don't know what number that's going to be right now.
Right.
The Warriors do have the worst record in the NBA at 5-22, although that only guarantees you the fifth best pick in the NBA draft. So you have to find out where the pick is going to be. So all told, I would be surprised, and you know, Mark laid it out as well, I would be surprised if there is any kind of a trade before the deadline of that ilk.
But there are moves coming at some point. As Brian Windhorst said on ESPN, he actually said this last month. He said some of these guys that they've signed, talking about Willie Cauley-Stein, Burks, Glenn Robinson III, quote, some of these guys that they've signed, I don't think they really have much use anymore. I think we're going to see the Warriors make a series of trades. They're all going to seem minor in the short term, but I think we're going to see them be pretty active messing with this roster going forward. Again, not necessarily anytime soon, but the Warriors have probably a spate of moves, perhaps lesser moves that they'll make that will add up to something, hopefully major.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, Glenn Robinson III was brought in as, you know, basically the primary wing, you know, when you were going to have Stephen Curry and D'Angelo Russell and others. Willie Cauley-Stein was brought in to try and, you know, all of these guys were brought in to try and make the playoffs this year, right? Remember at the beginning of the year, I mean, 2 months ago, the thought was, hey, get in the playoffs and Klay Thompson maybe comes back and this team could get on a little bit of a run, and boy, nobody would want to play them, right?
Yeah.
With Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and maybe Russell, and some of these other pieces, if it all came together. Well, it all went completely the other way.
Yes, it did. It's also possible, to the point you made, they could make one big trade late May when they find out more information about where they're picking, things like that. They could make one big move that would change the foundation of the roster, maybe May.
And the reality here, though, for the Warriors is you're looking all the way ahead to June, and there's going to be really about a and the draft this year is June the 25th.
And who are you picking if the draft were right now and you have the first pick?
Anthony Edwards.
Okay, I'm with you.
Anthony Edwards would be my pick. I just think right
LaMelo
now.
LaMelo second? You're your second pick?
It would be Wiseman. It'd be Wiseman.
You're going LaMelo.
And then I'm trading the pick at all costs. And then I'm trading the pick at all costs.
Is that because
then I'm
of
going R.J. Hampton.
Is that because of LeVar, or?
I just don't like his game. I'm big on shooting, and I just his inability to shoot. And look, maybe he winds up in a spot where he is a point guard that, in essence, becomes the three man that the Warriors would need. You know, in essence, he would become, you know, I know he is a point guard.
Do you like Ben Simmons' game? I mean, you could see.
I think Ben Simmons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.